You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. Today, Mount Dora Campus Pastor Joel Craig will begin out our new series called God Never Said That. There are some things that people say that are sometimes confusing or even wrong about the Bible. Through this series, we'll be shedding some light on some things that may or may not be correct. Ephesians would call it speaking truth in love. Our scripture text comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 13. Today's message is entitled, God Won't Give You More Than You Can Handle.
It is great to be here with you. My name is Joel Craig. I'm the campus pastor out in Mount Dora, and everything's going great out there. This weekend, Pastor Randy Green is out there preaching live for us and our people out there. As we're a part of this whole rotating pastor-preacher thing through the month of July, I never heard of anybody doing that before, but I'm pretty excited to be a part of that and absolutely pumped to be with you this weekend. You know, people say dumb things all of the time. I mean, just stupid things come out of our mouths, don't they? Especially myself. I'm not excluded from that. And when you're a preacher and you speak on a regular basis or speak more than the average Joe in front of crowds of people, those things get amplified to another degree. I mean, if I say something dumb today, which will probably happen at some point or another, it'll get retweeted, it'll get posted on Facebook before we even get out of service. I know that. That's just what happens, okay? But we do say the dumbest things all the time. I remember when I was preaching to a group of about 300 high school and middle school students up in Illinois, and I was beginning the sermon with my opening illustration, just saying, hey, we used to go when I was younger up to my grandfather's farm. They owned a bunch of land in West Central Illinois, and we would just have a blast because we would go there two or three times a year, and we would ride all over the place, all over Grandpa's concubines. And I went, I mean combines. Combines is what I was going for, not concubines. If you've got that awkward laugh going on, just ask the person next to you what that really means. And trust me, you don't want to be riding all around Grandpa's concubines, okay? Not a good thing. Luckily, it went over a lot of the students' heads, but it was really no use going on from there. But Christ followers have taken this to a whole new meaning, I would say. Some of the things that we just spew out of our mouths are things that we've heard said before, phrases that don't make any sense, or just go into this realm of cheesiness that should never, ever be said again. And it kind of drives me crazy. I just wish that we could have that Family Feud buzzer go off whenever you hear something like that, just to remind us that that was either stupid or doesn't make sense or is actually completely wrong in what we're saying. They're like the worst Christian t-shirts ever. And I do want to tell you that if what I'm going to make fun of here in a second offends you in any way, then you are definitely part of the problem. You need to take those t-shirts, you need to throw them on the fire with your Kevin Durant jerseys from this past week, okay? Too soon? Too soon? Come on now. Now listen, please don't burn your Kevin Durant jerseys because he is an incredible basketball player. And if you want to get rid of it, just hand it over to me because I will take it. He's pretty awesome. So let me get into these because this is a little bit crazy. It's things like this. Survey says, forbidden fruit creates many jams. Yeah, let's buzz that one almost immediately. Give the devil an inch and he will be your ruler. Yeah, buzz that, buzz that. That's terrible. Next one. Survey says, don't give up. Moses was once a basket case. Yeah, buzz that. Yeah, okay. Next one. That'd be great. Christ is the rock that makes me roll, right? Okay. Terrible. Buzz. Okay. The best vitamin for a Christian is B1. Yeah, buzz, buzz, buzz. And the last one up there. Heaven's forecast, rain forever. Yeah, buzz that. You believe people actually talk like this, wear stuff on t-shirts around? We just need to get rid of all of that. It's terrible, and it may be why people aren't coming to church anymore, to be quite honest. They don't want to hang out with people as cheesy as us. Our series that we're beginning today is called God Never Said That. You see, there are some things that people say that admittedly on a regular basis are just wrong, or they don't understand what it's supposed to mean, or they want to make sure, we want to make sure in this place that we're speaking the truth, that what we're saying from the pulpit, what we're having our conversations with, is the truth from God's word, and it is accurate, that it is purposeful, that it is straight from the words of God. We want to be truth tellers. In Ephesians, it would call us to speak the truth in love. You see, people are really quick to throw out advice for absolutely everything, aren't they? If you've ever been going through a difficult time, you know that somebody will tell you how you're supposed to get out of it, what you should do, and this will make it all better. Most of the time, that becomes unsolicited advice, by the way. They're just going to tell you what they think anyway, even when you don't ask for it. I remember when I was single in ministry and having a good old time. Everything was good, great, and grand. And everybody was trying to fix me up with somebody. Everybody and their mother was trying to fix me up with somebody. Literally, I had people coming up to me, "Hey, I have this great girl. She'd be amazing for you." And I'm like, "Oh, cool. Where does she go to church?" "Well, she doesn't really go to church." And I'm like, "I'm a pastor. One of the prerequisites is that they love Jesus, okay?" I'll never forget my buddy saying, "You just need to not pursue anything right now, and it'll all fall into place." And I'm like, "What? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If you're not pursuing anything, nothing is ever going to happen. Brilliant idea. Thank you very much. I'll just keep that one." Second of all, can I just say this for all of our married people in here? Stop giving advice to single people about their dating lives. It's unasked for. Only give it unless if they ask for it, okay? Because they really don't want to hear your opinions on this person and that person and all these other things, okay? If they ask for it, then it's fair game. The worst one that I was ever told was back in the day when Christy and I were going through our infertility stuff. And it was a difficult time, and I had one of my friends, I'm not joking, he came up, he goes, "You know what, I think that if you guys just weren't trying so hard, that it'll happen for you." Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there is some effort that has to go into baby making. It's just a thought. You know, I'm pretty sure I'm not having Jesus anytime soon, so I was like, "Thanks a lot, buddy." Well-meaning intentions, for sure. Perfectly delivered and life-changing, not hardly. And this lies at the heart of our topic for today. John has said this before, and I know it didn't originate with him, but all of us are either just coming out of a very difficult, hard time, sitting in the midst of something right now, or about to head into a storm in the very near future. Some of those are seen, and some of those are unforeseen. And all along our journeys, inevitably, somebody will say something like this: "When God closes a door, he will open a window." What? What does that even mean, right? Trust me, in those times of life, if somebody opens a window, that's not a good idea because you're liable to jump out of it, okay? And then our phrase for today that you'll hear again and again: "God won't give you more than you can handle." Yeah, buzz that. That is a terrible, 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 terrible phrase. Here's where I think that this comes from, okay? If you look back in your scriptures, this is one that we've kind of misconstrued throughout our lives. When Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he wrote a few different letters, two of which we have in our scriptures today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this: "And God is faithful," praise the Lord for that. We could stop right there. "God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So when we say God won't give you more than you can handle, it gets misconstrued that God won't give you anything at all. But the reality of it is that scripture is speaking about temptations. And what he says there is he promises us he will always, always give us a way out of those temptations. It means that no matter what, there will never be a situation that you come into that there is no other way out but to sin. It might be difficult. Sometimes the truth can hurt. It can hurt a relationship. It can hurt a position. It can hurt a reputation. Or even it can cost you money. But guess what? Sometimes it costs quite a bit to choose right over choosing easy. There will never be anything that the world can throw at us with regard to temptation that we cannot look towards Christ and get through it and stand up against it. But there are some life situations that have come, are happening right now, or will come in the very near future, that will flatten us. You'll have no idea which way is up, and you're just trying to keep your head above water most of the time. You're just treading through life because that's all you know how to do. Every week this happens. Every day this happens. Maybe it's every moment you're just trying to get by. I want to tell you today that if that is you, you are not alone. And if you think that you can handle it, then you're headed down an even worse path. But we are actually in very good company. Gideon in the Old Testament. It's a great story to look at. It's in Judges chapter 6 and 7. He's called a mighty warrior by the angel of the Lord. He asked this question that you've probably asked. I know I have in my life when going through some struggles. He says this, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? He says, the Lord has abandoned us. He says in the response to his call, God calls him to lead an army, to lead a nation. He says, my clan is the weakest, and guess what? I am the least in my family. What he's saying is, guess what, God? I can't handle this. I can't do this. And by himself, he can't. He couldn't. Moses, some of you have heard of Moses before in here. He's our resident basket case, if you remember. In Exodus, he's asked to lead a nation out of Egypt. And he responds to God by going, I can't hardly talk, God. I'm not eloquent at all. I'm slow to speech. I slur everything. I have faltering lips, faltering tongue. He probably would say things about concubines that he meant to say combines. Moses said, guess what? I can't handle this assignment, God. I can't handle this part of life. And by himself, he couldn't. King David, many of the Psalms are real-time heartache moments, diary type of stuff from a giant in the faith and a giant slayer by trade. He finds himself at a point in life in Psalm 38 that I just had to share with you. He says this. Listen to this. This is crazy. He says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long, I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. This man is absolutely done. He is broken. And what he says is, God, I can't handle this. I can't handle this. And by himself, he couldn't. Here's one more for you, just so if you're keeping score. That means all of us that are going through this part in life, when we say we can't handle this, God, what you've given me, I can't handle. We're in good company because we've been partnered with a mighty warrior of God. We've been partnered with the leader of the Israelite nation out of Egypt and the great Exodus that we read about in the Old Testament. We're the same as King David, the greatest king in the history of the nation of Israel. Then we get to this one more. His name's Jesus. Oh yeah, we always go back to Jesus here. I remember hearing my professor say, if you don't ever preach Jesus, then you're just talking. And nobody needs more talking. So it always comes back to Jesus. The God-man who came and lived a life free of sin gets to the point in his journey where he sits alone in the garden awaiting what is to come, and we see this very human moment from him in Mark chapter 14. Listen to this. He says, he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Anybody in here deeply distressed and troubled today? Anybody just feeling the weight of the world on their shoulders today? Guess what? You may look just like Jesus. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. I don't know where you stand theologically with this, but the fully God Jesus comes and he knows what is happening. He knows what is coming. He knew what his purpose and reason for being here was. And he was ready and willing to lead us through even death itself, that we might truly live our lives and be able to have relationship with God. As fully man, he knew that. Or as fully God, he knew that. But as fully man, he couldn't handle what was going to happen. So he sat in prayer in the garden before the cross. He says, God, I can't handle this as a man. But what I want you to know is I will do your will. Let your will be done, God, not mine. This is very intense and very real because we all find ourselves knowing we can't handle this life. If we think that we're supposed to handle it all, then we are left with confusion as to why we really can't deal with it. We're supposed to, but we can't. God won't give you more than you can handle, so I need to be able to deal with this, right? But you can't. And if we actually bought into the lie that we could handle this mess on our own, then there would probably be no reason for God to even be a part of our lives, would there be? So why? Why would this life be so overwhelming to us? Why is it that God would repeatedly give more than we can handle? Just a couple of suggestions here this morning. One is so that we could focus on his presence. Focus on his presence. Here's the thing, and we're going to need to be honest with one another today. And when things are going good, when life is going well, your marriage is great, your job is great, your kids are doing great, they respect everything you say, their grades are on a roll, you've got good friends and are making great decisions, you head out on vacation for the third time this year, your portfolio is strong to very strong, everything is rainbows and puppies, definitely not kittens for Pastor John. When everything is a mountaintop experience, it gets way too easy to look down at the mountain that you have climbed and not up at the one who actually created it. When life is getting better and better for many of us, God doesn't seem as high of a priority. If we're being honest, if we're being real and open with one another, he tends to take a back seat, doesn't he? For those of us that are followers of Christ, I would hope that we would do our best effort to give God the glory in all circumstances, but far too often we fall into the exact same trap that the rest of this world does. When there's tragedy, we head to church. When everything's roses, he gets a back seat. If we were more accurate, we would actually sing, I kind of need you. Oh, I sort of need you. Every other hour, I may possibly need you. Jody. I love our team. We don't call on God nearly as much when things are going great as to when they're going bad. We have to have more focus on his presence in our lives every hour, lifting him up regardless of our life circumstances. Look at Jonah's story in the Old Testament. You remember this story? If you remember, Jonah's a prophet for God and he gets an assignment. God says, I need you to go to the town of Nineveh and preach my message, preach God. And Jonah looks at his life and he's like, things are going a little bit too good for me to go into that nightmare over there. So I'm just going to go the other way, God. He hops in a boat and starts headed the complete opposite direction from where God asked him to go. Storm comes up and they're about to go down in the waves. And Jonah says, hey, this is my fault. You need to throw me over the side. They're like, no way. He's like, trust me, just do that. So they grab Jonah. They chuck him over to the side. He goes into the deep, gets swallowed up by a giant fish, a huge fish. And then listen to what Jonah says as he's reflecting about this, literally from the belly of the great fish. He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Maybe in all of our distress, we need to focus on the very presence of God in our lives. Maybe in the midst of all these waves that are crashing around us, that are breaking over us, we need to focus on God. That God is allowing us to go through this and struggle with this. Maybe he just wants us to focus on the Spirit of the living God that is being revealed in our lives. You know, when Peter got down out of the boat and stepped onto the water to walk towards Jesus, it had to be what I'm guessing the greatest moment of his life. I believe it's the greatest one that we have recorded in Scripture. When that happened, the presence of the Holy One was standing right in front of him, and he's walking towards him. But if you notice in the story, then he starts to see the waves and the wind and the breakers, and they start crashing around him, and he looks to the left and to the right, and he gets a little nervous, and he starts to sink because he'd lost the sight of the presence of the Holy One standing right in front of him. You see, he had Jesus walking on water towards him. He was standing in the midst of an incredible miracle, and he still lost sight of the presence of God. But if you know the story, you know what happens. In his distress, he reaches out, and Jesus is right there. The presence of the living God grabs him and pulls him out of the depths and holds him tightly. Craig Rochelle, whose messages we got the idea of this series from, says this: never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Yeah, amen. Let's hear that again. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Some of us in here are going to remember that phrase when we hit that next storm in our lives. Some of us are going to seek him out. Some of us are going to reach out our hands from the depths because we know that his presence is right there. We just need to reach out. And he can help pull us out of the mess that we cannot handle. We should not handle on our own. He'll be right there reaching out to us. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Listen to this question as we close this section. As we're focusing on his presence, ask yourself this: would you rather be in the valley with Jesus or on the mountaintop without him? Would you rather be in the valley with Jesus? Would you rather be in the depths with the Son of God, the Savior? Or would you rather be on the mountaintop by yourself? Because when you truly, honestly answer that question, it will tell you where you are at in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to focus on his presence. Secondly, we need to experience his power. When life is giving us more than we can handle, and we know that that day is coming or is happening right now, we need to focus on his presence. We need to experience his power. My family and I, a while back, went boating with some friends of ours up in Mount Dora. They took us out on their nice boat, and they had a tube, and our children had never done a tube before. Now, when I think of tubing, I think of college guys out on a lake trying to throw each other as far as humanly possible off the tube. And I always, whenever, I knew they were going to toss me. So when I felt that I was going, I would just sprawl out. So I would do like end over end, splash everywhere, and they're like, yeah, right? But when you're going with your young ones, you're like, I'm going to hold on so we don't go anywhere. And Carolina, our oldest child, gets in the boat. And whenever we go swimming, Christy does their hair up. She had it all beaded out, and it was beautiful, and it should be better in the water that way. So we get on the tube, and I'm holding on to the tube, and I'm holding on to her, and we're going, and we're doing pretty good. We're not going super fast, and she's bouncing around and everything. And she starts to slide over, and so I'm like holding on for dear life. My arm's like shaking, and I'm holding on to her, and I got my ankle twisted around because I don't want her to go anywhere, and I am holding on for dear life. I'm like white-knuckled, right? And so we're just flying around this lake. I'm like, woo, yeah. We get done, and we don't fall off. I'm like, praise the Lord, we didn't go down. We get done, and they're pulling us back to the boat, and we've been screaming and hollering, and we're done, and she's screaming and hollering and crying. And I'm like, uh-oh, what happened? Well, the water had gotten on her hair, and it had gotten it wet. And the beads were so heavy, they were whipping around and smacking her in the face. Yeah, aw. It was daddy fail. Complete daddy fail. And so she's bawling. I was like, this is the greatest ride of our life. And she is crying her eyes out. You know, that's what so many of us do in the midst of difficulties. We try to get it done with our strength. We're going to hold on with everything that we have. We're holding on for dear life. And all the while, we can completely miss the things that are going on right in front of our faces. If God won't give you more than you can handle, then you better hold on for dear life, because that's the only way to actually survive. It's just simply not true. You were created to need God, to be desperate for Him. When we realize that He never expected you to handle everything, that's when we can begin to experience the power within our lives. Going back to our guy Paul, he speaks about this thing in his life called his thorn in the flesh. If you've been around church, you've probably heard about that before. Many people have speculated as to what exactly that was. Whenever they come up with the idea, just so you know, it's not true. Nobody knows. We have no idea what this thorn in the flesh was for Paul, but what we do know is he spent three distinct moments praying that God would take it from him, that it would no longer be a part of his life. Now, many of us think, okay, he just prayed three times. I would guess that he got on his knees. I would guess that he spent days of fasting. These were moments that he pleaded with God to get rid of this thing that was in his life that he could not handle. You see, if you walk with God long enough, there will come a time when you recognize the thorn in your life, and it's not going away. And we start to ask the questions, why don't you remove this, God? Why is this prayer not being answered? Can't you just help the depression go away? Can't you just heal my child? Can't you just heal my father, my mother, my wife? Can't you just fix this marriage? It was so great when it started, and now it's crumbling. God, why can't you just fix this marriage? Can't you just help me for 1 month be financially stable and not underwater? Can't you just, God, take this one thing away from us? You know that God can, and you know that He is choosing not to. So why? That's where Paul was at with his thorn in the flesh. God answered him. 2 Corinthians, it says this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God says that His power is made perfect in the times that we cannot handle. Then Paul really gets after it. He says this: therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am what? Weak. Then I am strong. You see, for when we are weak, we can become strong through the power of God. It is in my hardships and difficulties that the power of God is revealed in my life, and I get through them. So we step out of our inadequacies and experience the very power of God in our lives. God will undeniably give you more than you can handle. He has me. Has this ever been more evident than now, than the world around us? This ridiculous tragedy that happened at the Pulse was just 3 weeks ago. Most of us have gone about our normal lives now. That should be more than you can handle. When these episodes happen all over the world, things just like this are happening all over our world, most of us don't even bat an eye at it. It should be more than you can handle. This past week, we were again bombarded by a racial divide in this country that words can barely describe. We're being told these stories by many outlets that I don't trust at all. And even when we do find words, most of them fall on deaf ears anyway. This should be more than you can handle. It is for me. It becomes personal. Let me get a little personal with you guys. You see, when we walk around with my family, we get many compassionate looks, many encouraging looks. But you know what we get a lot? We get a lot of questioning looks. We get a lot of dirty looks, if we're being honest. Because my family is a multiracial family. I have to remind you, God put this on my heart this week. I have to remind you, I have to remind myself, because this scripture spoke so deeply to me in the midst of all of this mess. You see, especially for me, because my anger and my fear and my sleepless nights were at a 10 this week. God says in his word, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle, our struggles are not against flesh and blood. And what I would add, they're not against skin color or uniform. Our battle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. So we all need to be ready each and every day to put on the full armor of God, is what he goes on from there to talk about. Focusing on his presence and experiencing his power, because the darkness in this world will be more than you can handle. And God makes no qualms about that. And he doesn't apologize for that, because he wants us in his presence and he wants us to experience his power. So if you've ever been called into a marriage, it'll be more than you can handle. If you've been called to be a parent, it's more than you can handle. If your family survives to have teenagers, it's more than you can handle. If you're called to be a foster parent or an adoptive parent, it will be more than you can handle. It is every day for me. If you've been stricken by some sort of disease or recurring physical ailment, it's more than you can handle. If you're having difficulties in your job, it's more than you can handle. If you've been called into ministry, called to share the gospel of Christ, it is absolutely, definitely more than you can handle. Here's the deal. If you wake up every day into a world that is saturated with sin, and you're trying to live your life in accordance with the words of God, his very scriptures, it will be more than you can handle. It's more than I can handle. What God says to all of us is this: that we focus on his presence and we experience his incredible power through his Spirit. For his grace is sufficient for us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your words that speak truth into our lives. God, we're surrounded by a lot of words that just don't make sense. God, they're not true, they're not right, they're not holy, but yet we let them get into our world and into our difficulties and our struggles. God, we know that we cannot handle this life, that we need you. We need your presence, we need your power to boldly live under your leadership. So God, I pray that you would give us strength today. And in the coming days, and when that next tragedy hits, when that next story comes across the news wire, that we would look to you and you only. Because you've given us more than we can handle. But we know that you will bring us through it. And we trust in that. So God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. It's in his beautiful and blessed name that we pray this morning. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. God won't give you more than you can handle, with Mount Dora Campus Pastor Joel Craig. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.